Welcome to Culture Snub's 5 minutes audio commentary track for Perfume, the Story of a Murderer. We're going to be spending about 6 minutes with the movie, actually, and starting at the 1 minute 3 second mark. On the count of three, if you're following along, you'll want to push play. 1, 2, 3. The movie sets itself up very interestingly in the sense that our feelings about the character are fairly strongly established in the opening and then undercut over the course of the movie. We will eventually find him monstrous. But here at the beginning, the first thing you see is him stepping into the light and smelling, only his nose illuminated and the sides of it going in as he sniffs. It's a very, very alien and animalistic action, because we think of, as humans, we use our ears and our eyes primarily as the senses that give us a sense of our surroundings, and here, like kind of like a rat, he steps into the light and sniffs. I think that kind of establishes him as something subhuman almost, not in a moral sense, but in just an evolutionary sense. Even though in the end, he is, his power of his sense of smell gives him great power over humanity, because we undersell the importance of our smell. Here, being carried toward the mob, he is feeble and seems incapable of any great harm. He also seems strangely unaffected by what horrible fate obviously awaits him. Oh, when you see the expression of the character here, it seems curious and apprehensive, but not afraid or even very curious. An interesting thing here, I think this is a reference to when you hear his name, Jean Baptiste, you think of John the Baptist, obviously. And we are never told of what crime he is accused. And also at this point, I think if you went to Sunday school, you might think of the story of Jesus and Barabbas, and of somebody who's essentially been set up but is innocent of any crime, obviously. The being put on a cross and beaten and with his face toward heaven is obviously another biblical allusion, and sets him up very clearly as a savior figure, which as you go through the movie will probably seem more and more curious as we go along, but it pays off. Here, of course, is narration by John Hurt, who I think does all voiceover narration work these days, by international law. Those soothing tones kind of set up a fairy tale atmosphere, something that's reinforced when the lead character is interacting with Dustin Hoffman, and Dustin Hoffman rebuffs an inquiry about the story by calling him a numbskull and telling him it's a legend, and therefore is not our place to question it. After we go from the title of the movie to a fish market, we will get a sort of a different sense of the character, and kind of a sense of another sense of his inhumanity and monstrosity, while also generating a great deal of sympathy for him. The director and co-writer Tom Tykwer does a phenomenal job throughout the movie of not necessarily giving you a sense of what things smell like, but giving you a sense of the intensity of a person's sense of smell. Jean Baptiste, the acute sense of smell, I think you get in a very visceral way. Even if you can't necessarily smell things, love the way she just pops that one out quite literally, and then shoves him off with her foot. There's a disposability of life in this part of Paris that's I think very unsettling and gives us a sense of the villainy of the character of the mother for as little as she'll live. And then at this point we've got the infant and you see the rising and falling of his chest and again the view, the angle of the nostrils flaring in these very quick cuts of these disgusting images of the sense that he is running into or encountering. And I think the reason this is so creepy is because, of course, infants don't really have any developed senses. You know, they can't necessarily see or perceive things the way adults can, but this one does, and it's in a sense of smell. And then the narrator tells us that that with his first sound, Jean-Baptiste killed somebody. Essentially, is the message, and it's a curious little reversal because, of course, the mother deserves the punishment she gets, but the narrator lays it on the hands of the baby, and death will follow him. Well, throughout the movie, at least initially, none of it his fault, or at least not anything he chooses to do, and then by the choices he makes. And their ends are a little 6 minutes into the movie. So there's this mob that obviously has found great reason to hate this man, and a narrator who is trying to turn you, the audience, against this man, and then you have your perception of him, which is a naive and seems to be an innocent. But so there's this contradiction that you have to resolve throughout the movie, and in addition, some Christ imagery that is also will become increasingly bizarre as you discover who Jean-Baptiste is, and I think it all pays off surprisingly and surprisingly coherently in the end.